Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Phone lines open for most of the hour, and then later on in about half an hour or so, joining us from the White House, we got a guest, special guest from the White House, because today's a special day. Celebrating President Trump's first 100 days in office. We'll talk about the border and much more. So that is coming up. Let me see here. A lot to get to here. I'm trying to pull up some of my audio files here from X and my computer. Of course, you take one day off, and then, of course, I'm like, okay, how does this whole computer thing work again here? But let me roll into this one, because this ties in with a great message that we got on our Montana Talks app just a few minutes ago. So in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, I played this audio clip of a Democrat member of Congress talking about impeaching President Trump. This guy has already filed impeachment charges against President Trump. The guy was not born in the United States of America. He has a really interesting hairdo. Apparently, it's not a toupee. Apparently, it's not a wig. It just looks like one. Chris in Billings was saying this about the Democrat member of Congress, the guy who was born in India with the bad hair. Chris says this, that guy has stolen nearly $800,000 from his campaign funds, and he's hoping that the fake impeachment will garner donations to replace it. It's a scam to rip off the uninformed leftist minions. That's a really good point here. You know, think about the fundraising that that guy is going to be able to do just off of this absurd attempt to file impeachment charges against Donald J. Trump. It's just a fundraiser. It's just a way to make money. It's never going to go anywhere. It's never going to do anything. That reminded me of the Trump impeachment from back in his first term. There were even some so-called Republicans that loved the impeachment saga. The Democrat consultants were making money, raising money to impeach Donald J. Trump, and then the so-called Republican consultants were making money and raising money and spending money to talk about defending Donald J. Trump. It was just, I mean, both sides were profiting off of the whole thing. The whole thing was a gigantic scam. But yeah, we played the audio of the guy who was who filed the impeachment charges against Donald J. Trump. It was on Hannity's program last night. He had a great segment all around. But another thing that Sean Hannity focused in on was Adam Schiff. You know, Shifty Adam Schiff, who was the ringleader of the circus against Trump in President Trump's first term. Adam Schiff, apparently he did some late night TV show interview where he was talking about how Democrats have a major problem. It's a great back and forth. And what's funny about the whole thing is that Adam Schiff is part of that problem. California is the most symbolic, the biggest symbol of the problems that Democrats not only are, not only have, but created. And Adam Schiff is a big part of that. He's now a senator from California.
Securing America.
U.S. NATO Ambassador Matthew Whitaker spoke about the State of the Alliance Sunday following NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte's visit to Washington this past week. Whitaker reiterating President Trump's stance concerning NATO funding while appearing on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
I think our European allies and Canada understand that they need to do a lot more.
Whitaker adding where he thinks additional funding should be spent.
That money needs to be dedicated to lethality, war fighting.
He said the reason is simple.
We have a dangerous world. You mentioned Iran, you know, China. Russia is obviously threatening our European allies especially.
And that our allies understand the most important thing.
The American people are an ally, that we stand for freedom and liberty all over this globe.
NATO's next summit will be held in the Netherlands in June. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby, a federal program which pays rent for some 60,000 families and individuals fleeing homelessness or domestic violence could end soon. The program is called Emergency Housing Vouchers. It's running out of money and fast. Funding is expected to be exhausted by the end of the year, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. That would leave tens of thousands of people across the country scrambling to pay their rent. There's concern it could turn people who receive benefits from the program to the streets or back into abusive relationships. The future of the program rests with Congress. Lawmakers could decide to add money as it crafts federal spending for the new fiscal year, which begins in the fall. But it's a relatively expensive program at a time when Republicans who control Congress are dead set on cutting federal spending to afford tax cuts. Maxine Waters of California is the top Democrat on the House Financial Services Committee. She is pushing for another $8 billion infusion. But the organizations lobbying Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill to re-up the funding is not optimistic. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
From Mundakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, speaking of Mondakistan, we've got several great callers on the phone lines right now, so let's just jump right into the phone lines, and then I'll play the that other great clip from Hannity's show a little bit later here in the hour. First up, we got Tim in Savage on the Mondakistan border. Tim, what's going on?
Good morning from Mondakistan. Say, I tell you, this morning, I'm listening to the media and listening to all the other garbage out there. It's like... It's like Groundhog Day from 5 years ago. I remember 5 years ago I was calling in and still frustrated with the media and their lies and all of the garbage that they were making up about COVID. And, you know, 6 feet was safe, 5.5 feet you were going to kill your neighbor and all that other garbage. Well, it's the same thing now with Trump's 100 days. All of this garbage out there, they're screaming the whatever the weird cult chanting on the house steps. I mean, that was just creepy, whatever the heck they were doing. It's just the constant spin, but not a...
Oh, did you hit the mute?
...has done. Not a single thing out there that they can point to that say is bad. And but yet, they're forced, all of the garbage in the media is forcing the poll numbers down, and which are another, you know, garbage media thing anyway. So
yeah, if you can actually believe the polls, the polls. I mean, I forget who had the analysis I was reading either yesterday or over the weekend, and they were saying, okay, look at the polls that they're trotting out for the so-called first 100 days polls, and these are the same pollsters who got everything so wrong in the elections and in Trump's first term. And yet they're trotting this out to push some sort of a narrative out there. So, yeah, I think this is the same old propaganda from the fake news media that are trying to get President Trump to stop the great momentum that he's on in his first 100 days.
Well, and what happened, you know, after November 5, 6, 7, where are we from that? We were saying as a society, yeah, the media lied to us. It was all garbage. We know that they're all left-wing proponents there, and we were going to look, you know, to Newsmax and other agencies for the real news. But now, it's now end of April, beginning of May. We are exactly where we were back last October. People are believing all of this garbage, and I don't know where we are as far as getting the legitimate news, because you have to dig for it. You had listened to you listened to some other folks on the radio, but the mainstream media, the legacy media, whatever you want to call it, they are still full of all of the crap that they were last year and the years before.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw a local TV news report, and they were interviewing the head of a local VFW in Billings. And it was funny because you could tell in the article they were so desperate to try to get the VFW post commander to criticize President Trump and the reforms that he's bringing to the VA. And he wouldn't do it. He's like, no, this stuff isn't going to hurt us. Our benefits are going to keep flowing. And, yeah, no. And it was just so funny because they were desperately trying to get this VFW post commander to bash President Trump. And he just didn't take the bait. Instead, he said, no, this is all going to be fine for us veterans. All right, Tim, great to hear from you. Let's see. Who do we got next up? Mike in Big Timber. Mike, what's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Montana. Yesterday you had a guest host, David Noble, who did a fantastic job, and the callers were spot on.
Yeah.
And the question I have, the taxes that are collected on property taxes, how much of that goes to education?
Oh, it's the overwhelming bulk of it goes to school. I mean, not just property taxes, but a lot of state revenue as well. And then,
right.
You know, local levies, everything.
Yeah, but one of your callers, and I forgot his name, and I think he called in from Joliet, and a lot of us out here have gotten ballots for school board trustees and such like that, and along with it is a mill levy for school funding. And I'm saying to myself, what's up with that? How come they always push these mill levies for school funding? How come it's, you know, there's not the proper amount going to the schools from the, you know, from the tax base itself? And this fellow from Joliet pointed out, it's a scam, is what he's saying. And I believe it. There's mill levies here at Sweetgrass for the schools. So I always wonder about the secondary elections after the regular elections.
Well, that's why I made the point that no matter what property tax relief is delivered by the state of Montana, you watch cities, counties, local level elections, they will strip any of it away from you and actually hike your taxes. And the Democrats are going to come back and say, oh, we voted for property tax relief. But yet they're the ones who then support every property tax hike practically that gets put across the finish line at the local level. Like they're the ones that are constantly cheerleading all of these property tax hikes. Mike, great to hear from you. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup before the break. Nancy, great to hear from you.
Yeah, good morning, Montana Talks family. Yeah, I mentioned the polls yesterday to David when he was on your show, and it's nothing but propaganda and garbage. It's made up. They don't tell us who these people they polled, where they live, if they're Republican or Democrats or nothing. So you have to use common sense. Forget the news. Use common sense when it comes to what President Trump is doing. But I want to talk quickly about that southern border wall. There's a gap. You know, there's a reservation, Indian reservation in Arizona that's got a 60-mile wide-open gap. It butts right up to Mexico. And the chiefs and the council will not go along with putting a wall on their reservation. So I don't know what they're going to do because Roundup is, where I live, it's 50 miles to the Billings Heights and then add another 10 miles. That's how wide open this gap is. I mean, it's not going to do any good if we put a border wall everywhere and have a 60-mile gap on this reservation where these people, and they are trafficking because people from Arizona have told me that cartels do traffic into the reservation there. So
yeah, of course. Yeah, just like they, you know, they've been trafficking drugs on our reservations here. Well, and then federal lands could be another major hole, but the Trump's Interior Secretary Doug Burgum has already been making moves to fix those gaps. All right, thanks for the call.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The Atlantic published its cover story on President Trump yesterday. It's online. And the most interesting thing about it is how this liberal magazine, and especially editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg, who was part of the team and the subject of a charm offensive from the president, got the story in the first place. Reporters Ashley Parker and Michael Shearer called Trump's cell phone. And the most interesting soundbite from the president is that all of those investigations helped him. And whereas in the first term people were trying to block him, now he says, I run the country and I run the world. It was fair. And that was the test. Was it fair? That's how they got the interview. Possible president will disagree. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. As measles cases spread in the U.S., hundreds of them in multiple states, doctors are speaking out. Allison Croucher is a pediatrician and doctor of osteopathic medicine with Dooley Healthcare in Illinois. She recently told Fox News Digital she gets a lot of frequent questions from parents about the disease. For instance, should I be worried about the measles where I live or where I'm traveling to? How do I know if my child is fully vaccinated? Can my infant get the vaccine early? What if my baby's too young to get the combination MMR vaccine? My child is showing signs of a cold. Could this be early stage measles? Or even, we've been around other people who traveled recently. What symptoms should we watch for? There's no specific treatment for measles, so public health officials say getting vaccinated remains the best way to protect yourself. For more health news or for Dr. Croucher's responses to the questions you just heard, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag. With Lane Nordlund.
U.S. ag production totaled just over $8.6 billion in March of 2025, a 7% drop from the same month last year. That figure includes 7.3 billion table eggs and 1.2 billion hatching eggs, with 1.1 billion from broiler type hens and over 104 million from egg type hens. The average number of laying hens in March was also down 8% year over year. Despite the smaller flock, productivity slightly improved. Hens produced over 2,458 eggs per 100 layers. That's up from March of last year. As of April 1st, the U.S. layer count remained at 351 million, split among 287 million producing table eggs and 60.4 million producing broiler-type hatching eggs. As for stats here in Montana, USDA no longer includes egg production from the Big Sky State in their annual chicken and eggs report, but despite this absence of statewide data, local egg producers have reported increased demand and stable production costs. For instance, Turner Farms in Missoula has observed that even with rising national egg prices, their production costs have remained steady and demand for their eggs has increased. Again, eggs are a big topic here as of late. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, that was a great lightning round of some callers there. You can call in right now as well, 406-294-0970. Because you know, once John Jackson, the Joker from X, joins us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of this show, usually sticks around for the 9 o'clock hour, too. The time just flies by, and we try to get to all the callers, but it moves even faster when you got a sidekick here in the house. So, yeah, call in now if you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Sean Hannity featured some remarks from Adam Schiff, now the senator from California. Yeah, apparently they are okay with having a white man as the senator from California, as long as he is a far-left wacko like Adam Schiff, who led the impeachment nonsense, the Russia hoax against Donald J. Trump in the first go-around. But isn't it interesting that here's the guy who was the architect of the Russia hoax. Here's the guy who was leading these impeachment coup attempts against Donald J. Trump in his first term. And now Adam Schiff says Democrats have a major problem. This is from Hannity last night.
Even Schiff seemed to realize that his party has gone completely off the rails. Nice of him to finally go to a target. Take a look.
I went to this target in South San Francisco, 10 o'clock at night, and I'm getting the toiletries I'm going to need for my next 2 days in the city. I had to get the clerk, which is hard to find, to unlock the shampoo or the whatever. So that's one thing. And then I get to the cashier. The cashier asked me if I want one of those Target bags with a little bullseye on it. And I said, yes, that Target bag is going to be my luggage for the next 2 days. And she asked me what happened, and I told her, and basically said, in not so many words, yeah, Democrats are and I thought, you know, if the cashier in South San Francisco at 10 o'clock at night believes that Democrats are because the shampoo is locked up and my stuff got stolen out of the trunk, we've got a major problem.
That's hilarious. Adam Schiff, let me just underline a couple of important points here. Adam Schiff is at a Target on the south side of San Francisco. He's in San Francisco, California at a Target, and the cashier is basically telling him how the Democrats are a bunch of, and then they beeped out the word there. You can only imagine what word he used. I would have, that cashier probably had no idea who she was even talking to. All she knew is that Democrats created these policies that benefited the lawless, not just criminal illegal aliens, but any criminal out there, that they could come in and just take whatever they want, and they would get let off the hook, and they would get thrown right back out on the streets, and you and I and everybody else had to pay for it. So Adam Schiff's wondering why all he wanted was it had to be something other than shampoo. I don't even want to know what he was actually trying to get his hands on. I'm sure John Jackson will have some unwoke ideas. Because he doesn't need a lot of shampoo, let's be honest. You know, I'm not judging him, I'm just saying. So, but, you know, he can't even get a simple toiletry off the shelf at a Target in San Francisco because they have to lock up everything because they refused to lock up the criminals. And so he's saying that Democrats have a major problem because of the very policies that he's supported, that Gavin Newsom has supported, that Democrats up and down the ticket, up and down the line, have supported. Wow, it's just fascinating when you hear him describe how a Target worker is the one telling him, in San Francisco of all places, how awful the Democrats are. All right, what about impeachment? For those of you who missed it, this is the guy, the Democrat member of Congress, who announced the impeachment charges against President Trump.
This is Congressman Shri Thanagar. Donald Trump has already done real damage to our democracy.
Was that the doctor from the movie This Is 40? Fruits, I don't know. I don't know if that's the doctor from This Is 40, but he was not born in the United States of America, and here he is impeaching the president, trying to impeach the president of the United States of America. Molly Hemingway, the great Molly Hemingway from TheFederalist.com, was on with Laura Ingraham talking about that and more.
The angle predicted this, Molly, but the I word is coming.
There is no doubt that this president's conduct has already exceeded any prior standard for impeachment.
It's impeachable misconduct. This isn't leadership, it's tyranny. Donald J. Trump must be impeached.
Molly, how surprising is this? Not
surprising, but it's just a little bit surprising that there aren't more adults in the Democrat Party to deal with this. They got a shellacking in November. People look at the Democrat Party and they say, we don't like what they're offering. You know, as was just pointed out, Trump has a broadly popular working class message, so they can't really move in that direction policy-wise. The only thing they have is impeachment, but that's probably not going to go so well.
Yeah, that congressman. I wonder if that was the doctor from the movie This Is 40. You need to eat more fruits. More fruits. I don't know about you guys, but there was lots of fruits on the Capitol steps for the Democrats. But President Trump's first 100 days. Did you guys see Jake Tapper in CNN? This is hilarious. So, all right. So a little background. So, some of you who visited our nation's capital, you've been to Washington, D.C. Maybe you went as a kid for Washington close-up. Maybe you're chaperoning some kids in Washington, D.C. right now. I think there's some school kids from Billings that are back there. So the south lawn of the White House, the north side of the White House, that's where the fence is, and you're pretty close to the White House from there, right? The south lawn is, so if you're ever driving in a presidential motorcade, and I've gotten to ride along in several presidential motorcades from the White House, so everybody goes out and there's a big, you know, driveway near the south lawn of the White House. So, you know, one trip we were leaving, you know, the press area where the White House press secretary speaks every day, and then we popped through a hallway there, and it was kind of funny. I ran into former President George H.W. Bush. So I ran into Bush Sr. He was walking through the hallway. We were walking through the hallway. And so I just said, hey, good morning, Mr. President. Shook his hand. Why not, right? When do you get that kind of an opportunity? So then we head out, and there's this beautiful grassy area. and then all the motorcade vehicles are all lined up, right? And you go run to your van, get in. Well, all along that motorcade path that these reporters would typically walk along to get in and out of the motorcade, they put a bunch of yard signs. The Trump White House put a bunch of yard signs. Anyway, here's Jake Tapper on CNN explaining this. But the really funny part is CNN blurred out the faces of the criminal illegal aliens who have committed these horrific crimes, murder, rape, and everything. CNN blurred out the faces to protect the illegal aliens.
The Trump administration is approaching its first 100-day mark with a full court press on the issue of illegal immigration, and they really don't want you to miss it. So they subtly and tastefully deck the White House North Lawn with dozens of yard signs featuring photos of people that the Trump administration claims are in the country illegally, each poster saying arrested and listing the alleged offensive with which they have been charged. CNN's working to confirm the identities, and if they're our actual allegations against these people. Until then, we are blurring their identities.
Yeah, so in other words, what Jake Tapper is saying, you know what, even though the facts have been out there, even though these reports have been out there about these hardcore criminal illegal aliens who committed all these other hardcore criminal crimes, you know, that hasn't been a big enough issue for us to bother covering these big news stories. Because, you know, the fact that people break into this country and then murder people and rape people, that's just not that big of a deal to CNN. So CNN needs to take a little bit more of a time to do a little bit more research before they're going to show the faces of these hardcore criminal illegal aliens who have murdered and raped people. But man, speaking of taking trips to Washington, D.C., remember when a bunch of Catholic school kids from Kentucky decided to wear red hats in Washington, D.C. CNN didn't waste any time falsely trashing those American schoolboys, did they? Not at all.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, hey guys, this is incredible. We got a great guest joining us here live right here with Montana Talks. He is the White House Deputy Communications Director, Alex Pfeiffer with Team Trump. Alex, great to have you on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be talking Montana right now. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, Montana loves President Trump. I know President Trump loves Montana. Man, the first 100 days, the first day, nobody could keep up with Donald J. Trump. I was there during the inauguration, and I remember walking Pennsylvania Avenue, and I had to keep my app on just to try to stay up with the news because This guy started sprinting on day one, and he hasn't stopped in the first 100 days at all.
We're not taking our sweet time because the American people and the nation doesn't really have the luxury of waiting. So we move as quickly as we can to deliver results. In the first 100 days, the president actually signed 142 executive orders. So that's more executive orders in 100 days than Biden, Bush, or Obama did in 3 years. And to me, one of the hallmark accomplishments of these first 100 days is the border. So securing the border has been President Trump's, key issue ever since he announced in 2015. And we did it in the first 100 days. You know, border crossings on the northern and southern border are down over 95%. We have the military on the border. We're building miles of wall. Migrant shelters are now having to close down. There's no migrants to fill them. So we've accomplished that, and now we're moving on to accomplishing other goals. In the next 100 days, a big focus of ours will be delivering tax cuts through Congress and increased funding to ICE so they can ramp up their deportation numbers.
What's it been like for you just working in the White House Communications Office for these first 100 days alone?
It's been a lot, but I've been, I did the campaign before this and I was a producer for Tucker before that. So I've been going 100 miles per hour for a few years now. So I guess it's the status quo. So the pace hasn't been crazier than the previous pace of previous jobs. The campaign was pretty intense. But it's been fun. You know, to me, what I enjoy the most is when we fulfill campaign promises. We have a running doc at the White House of, you know, statement the president said on the campaign trail, and then when he enacted it, and the list keeps growing every day. You know, yesterday we signed an order to have the DOJ put together a list of sanctuary cities that protect illegal immigrants, and then we can find out what federal funding they're getting. And obviously we spoke about getting that on the campaign trail. So, you know, that's what I enjoy the most, fulfilling our promises.
I'm glad you didn't just mention the southern border. You mentioned the northern border as well. We just had Ali Bradley from News Nation here in Montana. I had her on the show this past Friday, and she was, you know, cruising around with the Border Patrol. And the Border Patrol chief there made a very interesting, you know, point about the fact that he basically, you know, publicly acknowledged, I think, what we already knew was happening, was that Joe Biden was taking northern border resources away and then sending them to the southern border, not to block illegal aliens from entering this country, but to process criminal illegal aliens into this country. So they eroded northern border security, and they weren't even beefing up southern border security in the process.
And it was, you know, to the detriment of the American public, because, you know, fentanyl was coming through the northern border. People on a terrorist watch list were coming through through the northern border under Biden. So, you know, we're focusing on both borders, and it's worth, you know, the crossings are down. They're so down that whenever you're on, you know, Twitter or what have you, I'm sure you've seen some of these, like, really cool edits the Border Patrol's put out with, like, songs or whatever. I guess they're bored at the border because there's no one crossing, so they have time to put together cool videos. But no, under Biden, he was effectively using the Border Patrol as Uber for illegal immigrants, and they were essentially just helped ferrying them into the country. And that's not what the role is. The role is to, you know, secure the nation, and they're back to it.
Yeah, whoever is running the Border Patrol's social media accounts has been killing it.
I'm serious. A lot of them are just like the actual agents.
Really? Really, because, yeah, they had some Zach Top country music that I played on the air last week. And then, you know, for about 2 days straight, I was playing nothing but Zach Top music because it's good stuff anyway. But, you know, you sleep well at night thanks to men and women on our Border Patrol, law enforcement, military, you name it. But my favorite one, though, I think, was when they played Closing Time. I think that's a 1990s era song.
You don't have to be here, but you must go home. That was just like a Border Patrol agent.
That's great. As somebody who was overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan, I mean, you know, that you have to have that sort of a sense of comedy. You have to be able to laugh at some of the crazy, stupid things you see because, yeah, those Border Patrol agents, they have seen some of the stupidest things ever under the Biden regime, and now they're finally able to do their job so they can, have a little fun on social media. It's great. Speaking of social media, I love the Rapid Response 47 account and the Trump War Room are two must-follow accounts on X. I check both of those every single day. The one about Jake Tapper on CNN. So you guys, tell us what you did at the White House where basically on the South Lawn, you've got yard signs lining that entire driveway.
We called it internally our 100 bad hombres in 100 days effort. And, you know, we worked with ICE to put together a list of some of the 100, you know, worst offenders arrested by ICE. You know, these are people who have charges for, you know, raping a minor or murder. And unfortunately, it's hard to get some of these mainstream outlets to cover this. So we decided, hey, let's just blow up the pictures of these people and their criminal record and line it up behind where they do their TV live shots. And lo and behold, they actually finally had to cover it. But Tapper actually blurred them out. As you mentioned, which is bizarre, you know, and Tapper's, I don't know why I blurred him out. He's not a prude. He used to be, fun fact for your listeners, Jake Tapper was a Hooters spokesman in the 90s.
really?
So I guess he was fine with that, but these mugshots are a line too far.
He's clutching the pearls over that. Yeah. Well, to me, it's symbolic. You know, CNN, they're saying, well, we didn't have the time to do the background to see if these people actually, you know, did commit these offenses. And so it's like, yeah, because criminal illegal aliens invading this country and then raping and murdering people was never that big of a deal for CNN. But for the Covington Catholic school kids who wore MAGA hats in Washington, D.C., they had no problem defaming them. But they won't show the photos of hardcore criminal illegal aliens?
Oh, and yeah, I'm sure Jake Tapper said, so he spent a lot of time verifying the Steele dossier before he ran with that on there. Now, I mean, it's obvious. It's an obvious excuse from him to not want to tout our accomplishments. But, you know, that's sort of what we have to deal with here, and it's trying to get creative to force places like CNN to tout our accomplishments.
If you were still working as a producer for Tucker Carlson's incredible program, how, and you could tell he's got incredible producers back when he was on Fox and now with the Tucker Carlson show as well, but if you were producing it, what would your first 100 days coverage look like? What would be some of the other topics? I mean, to me, the exposing USAID was massive.
The big one I think I would do, and it's sort of a mantra for how we try to put the show together, is zigging when everyone zags. So you kind of want to, you know, you want to find the topic that isn't getting the attention. And to me, that would be all these hospitals around the country, including in places like Los Angeles and, you know, New York, and, you know, not conservative places, have announced that they're not giving out, you know, puberty blockers anymore to minors. The president signed some very strong executive orders, and HHS has put out guidance. And, you know, these hospitals have decided to no longer, you know, essentially chemically castrate minors. And that's a huge victory that has not gotten much attention. So that, to me, would have been one of the big things we've covered. And then I guess just generally speaking, sort of the broader cultural victory that President Trump has ushered in. You know, all of these large corporations used to be comfortable with essentially racist DEI policies. And DEI sort of masks what's actually happening. It's just an acronym. But this is, you know, corporate affirmative action, where they look at skin color and not results to hire people. And after our victory, all these companies have sort of shuttered those. Not all of them, but many have shuttered these policies.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Democrats back here in Montana, for some reason, they still keep standing by men and girls' bathrooms, men and girls' locker rooms. Like, they're still AOC and Bernie Sanders were just in Missoula, Montana, still pushing this craziness. Alex Pfeiffer with the Trump White House, Deputy Communications Director with the Trump White House. Hey, we got to hit a hard break here. If you can stick around, I'd love to come back to you. But if you got to run, I know you guys are busy. I know you guys are running and gunning. It's been a 100-day sprint in the Trump White House. So if you got to run, we understand. But if you can, stick with us here. Alex, do you got to run or do you want to stick around for a few more minutes?
I have a 10 a.m. Eastern meeting, so I don't know when you come back from break.
We can get you out of here by 59. We can get you out of here by 59 after if you can stick around. So I'll let you chew on that. We'll hit the break. We'll be back right after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fox News commentary.
President Trump has a plan to fight low birth rates and it pays. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world,
Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at FoxNewsRundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
birth rates in the U.S. are trending downward, and the administration is eyeing a possible solution, the baby bonus. The White House is seriously considering an incentive program of $5,000 per delivery to boost declining birth rates. This comes after policy experts and advocates have been meeting with White House aides to conceive, no pun intended, new plans to convince women to pump out more children. Other options could include education programs on fertility or special scholarship considerations for applicants who are married with children. Look, this sounds like a good idea in theory. If financial strain is putting a damper on growing families, a little monetary aid could go a long way in making it a little easier. However, the notion the government could potentially dole out dollars to folks just for having a baby seems like it could go very wrong and very easily. Money doesn't always translate to good parenting, and a cash for conception plan, well, it seems a little risky. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2025 inductees are announced. Cyndi Lauper is among the seven new inductees from a list of 14 announced earlier this year. The others include Outkast, Bad Company, Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, Soundgarden, and The White Stripes. The full induction ceremony airs live November 8th from the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles on Disney Plus and arrives on Hulu the next day. Those who didn't make the cut this year include The Black Crowes, Billy Idol, and Phish, all first-time nominees, along with Mariah Carey and Oasis, who were both nominated in 2024 for the first time, and Joy Division New Order, nominated once before in 2023. That
be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Alex Pfeiffer with us for a few more minutes here as we wrap up the hour. Yeah, not only was he a producer with Tucker Carlson's TV show, he's now the deputy communications director in the Trump White House, but prior to all of that, he was the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller, which, as you guys know, that's a publication I quote every single day here on this show. Incredible publication. Alex, you know, a couple of things from a Montana standpoint, talking about President Trump's first 100 days. Montana coal, what he's doing to support Montana coal is so huge for our state and for the United States of America, for the West in general. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of people. But also USAID and the corrupt funding, the way they were using our taxpayer dollars against us and lining the pockets of their own left-wing political activists at the same time. The biggest reaction I've heard from people across Montana is they knew things were bad. They knew the swamp was nasty, but even they didn't know how nasty it was. The USAID and DOGE exposing that exposed how bad things really are.
So, yes, a couple things on what you just mentioned. When it comes to coal, this didn't get much attention, but it's worth touting. Secretary Burgum, the Department of Interior, last week announced new changes to the permitting process. So it used to take many years to get permits necessary to start a mining project. Now it could just take 28 days under the new regulations. So that should increase the amount of coal projects and all sorts of mining projects that we're having. And then as it pertains to the USAID, I think it's important for your listeners to understand how this was working and why it was so messed up. So when we started, putting the USAID on the chopping block and highlighting some of the bad grants, you know, things like transgender opera in Colombia, you know, people wondering, you know, what the hell is this? What transgender opera in Colombia? And the defenders of USAID are like, oh, this is appropriated money. And it's, no, that's actually not how it works. The way it would work is Congress would just basically approve, you know, a bucket of money. So for something as vague as just like public diplomacy. And then these bureaucrats at USAID were like, okay, now we have this bucket of money. We want to spend it on transgender opera in Colombia. And they wouldn't notify Congress that that's what they're spending the bucket of money on. So, you know, they were, you know, misusing funds from the taxpayers and Congress to push left-wing agendas in countries around the world, and certainly those countries don't appreciate it. You know, again, when we also announced sort of cuts to the USAID funding in Africa, lots of people in the U.S. were outraged, or how dare we do that, but leaders in Africa and presidents there and so forth came out and were happy about it. So it clearly wasn't doing good work there.
Yeah, great point. Yeah, because they saw how it wasn't in their interest either. Yeah, it was like the greening of Guatemala. It was so funny when that story came out, you know, $2 million to help Guatemala go green. And it was probably Tucker Carlson or somebody who said, isn't Guatemala already green? And we actually had electric utility linemen in Guatemala providing electricity for some villages for the first time ever. They didn't need to go green. They needed electricity. But then again, so do we here in the United States of America. What's next in the next 100 days? We've secured the border. President Trump secured the border. When did the mass deportations begin?
So when it comes to deportations, we've deported 139,000 so far, which is good. But obviously, we want to see the numbers go up. And that's part of what we're working on with Congress with this, what is called a reconciliation bill. And part of that is we want increased funding so ICE can have more detention beds and more resources to pump up their deportation numbers. So that, you know, sort of the tax cuts and increased funding to make our border security permanent and ramp up deportations are a big focus for the next 100 days.
So, all right. Well, Alex Pfeiffer, I know you got to run to another meeting. It's you've been doing nothing but running in the Trump White House. So it's great to have you here on the program. Deputy White House Communications Director Alex Pfeiffer with us here on Montana Talks. Greatly appreciate your time. Give our best to the boss.
Thank you. I will. I love Montana, and thanks for having me on.
All right. Come back and see us anytime back here. Door is always open here in Montana for you.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
After having a weekend off, the NASCAR Cup Series returns on Sunday, and a legendary track takes center stage. Talladega Super Speedway hosts the Jack Lynx 500 as NASCAR kicks off a lengthy stretch. Chase Elliott joined Fox and Friends on Thursday with the season in full swing.
Long season. You know, for us, it's a marathon, right? February all the way to November. And as you get into these kind of spring, summer months, you're kind of getting into that stretch. You're seeing kind of where everybody's stacking up, and Talladega is a big race for us on the schedule.
For the next 28 weekends, a race will be held through the November 2nd championship race in Phoenix. Elliott will be looking for his third win at Talladega and the 20th Cup Series victory of his career. Kyle Larson is coming off a win at Bristol Motor Speedway, where he led 411 of 500 laps in the Food City 500. It was Larson's second victory of the season, and he enters Talladega ranked fourth in the Cup Series standings. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.